Welcome back to the Embracing Grief podcast. This season, we are bringing you the grief brief. We know that listening to 1 hour long episodes isn't for everybody. And a lot of times when you are in the midst of grief, you one, don't have the attention span for an episode that long. And two, if you did listen, you might not remember all of the important stuff. The grief brief is for you. I'm going to be giving a recap of the highlights of every episode. Episode one, we really talked about a reflection of the previous year. A lot has happened in our lives since we started this podcast, and we are in completely different places. I know I feel like I'm in a completely different place from a year ago. A year ago, I was ready to actually feel the grief. I had been in like mom mission mode for 2 years, and it felt like it was finally time that I could let go and start having these feelings. I had a lot of fear around that because I felt like I was just going to fall apart. I didn't. I was able to move through the grief and really process a lot of the things that I was afraid of. And now I am sitting here a year later, really in a place of peace and gratitude. Trish talked about how since starting the podcast, her relationship with her son has changed. She has a lot less guilt as a parent. She's been able to strengthen her communication with her son. And she's had a lot of more courage to step out of her comfort zone in her career and doing things like becoming a laughter yoga instructor. Trish and I talked about our summer adventures, which is really the culmination of everything we learned in season one. Trish talked about her new adventure to Alaska. She'd never been on a cruise before. She and her son really had to talk about some things that they were both kind of fearing, but her son was afraid to fly. And that came out in a, I don't want to go. And it was really his fear holding him back. And they were able to work through that. And in the end, he thanked his mom for creating such an amazing experience. I took my children up to New York to do some glamping with family. Last year, I really went through different phases where I felt like I needed to move closer to family. I craved the connection. And so the summer, I intentionally created time where we could just spend time with our family and feel loved and supported in a way that we don't necessarily feel in our daily life, which is one of the things that I want to work on this year. And so another thing that we talked about were the connections that we're looking for. And I think that'll be a big theme in this season. I'm looking to create friendships and a support network where I live right now because I decided that we kind of like it here. And it's been really good for my kids to have some stability, especially looking into the school year. Trish is in actually a different place. She is actually realizing that she's really missing companionship. But it took her a little bit to get there because she had a limiting belief that she kind of felt like her life was a mess, especially in parenthood, and wondered who would even want this. So her perspective of her own life has changed. Her perspective of her parenting and her approach of her parenting has changed. And she has some confidence in, yeah, I'd like to invite someone into my life. We then talked about going back to school and how we each begin the school year by communicating with teachers. I know I have an educational background. It's super helpful as a teacher when you're learning the students at the beginning of the year. Any type of little information about background, behaviors, interventions that work are really, really useful, especially if you have a lot of students like a high school teacher would have. My kids are in elementary school. And I've really worked closely with this school to kind of build a little support network to keep school as safe and positive as possible. But something that I did at the beginning of this school year is I talked to each of their teachers separately and really gave them some background about our situation. I talked about behaviors that each of them tend to exhibit. Most children will have go-to behaviors or behaviors that you notice and you know you need to go into intervention mode. And I also was able to communicate some interventions that have worked in the past, not only at school, but the things that we do at home. Sometimes having common language and a common approach kind of centers a child a little bit sooner. And remember, these behaviors, it's not about having a bad kid or a kid that gets in trouble all the time. These behaviors are communicating needs. So if we approach behaviors that are often chastised or seen as negative as a way for a child to communicate that they're not feeling safe or they're feeling worried or they're feeling lonely or they're missing their mom or dad or grandparent or guardian, if we see the hurt in the behavior, a lot of times our approach is a lot more positive for the student. And it's a lot easier to get back to a place of calm. For my family, we're coming on some difficult months. My children have the option of getting picked up a little bit early because I've rearranged my career to have a flexible schedule. Not everybody can do that. However, a little tip I have is to intentionally create some mental health days. So this gives a day just to release the pressure of having to perform, having to behave, having to be on every single day at school or every day at work. And if you're someone who can't just sporadically take a day off of work, the pre-planned mental health day can really help do that. Consider this a sick day. You're taking care of your emotional health, just as important as if you had a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment or anything like that. Our journal prompt this week was inspired by Mel Robbins. We each shared our 24-hour win. So in the last 24 hours, what was your win? We each shared our past 90-day win, which really tied back to those culminating experiences over the summer. Trish talked about the fact that she and her son did something completely new that neither of them had done before. And they went on this adventure together and they really kind of became a team. Now, she will tell you that that wasn't just all daisies and sunshine. There were a little bit of rocky waves in the midst, but overall, it was a really, really great trip. And for me, it was creating that connection with family. I saw my sister quite a few times this summer, and it was really, really amazing. I intentionally spent time with friends and family who I knew were going to give me a sense of support that I don't necessarily feel all the time. And it really did completely ground me and reset my perspective going into the school year. We finished with a 90-day claim. Where are we going to be in 90 days? Goal setting has been a big part of how the podcast has changed our lives because we've talked about not only where we are and what awareness that creates, but where we want to be and what actions will help get us there. As always, thanks for joining us on the Embracing Grief podcast. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to community@embracinggrief.life. We've got amazing things ahead for this season, and we can't wait to continue to share them.